Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
It is so great to be together at church today. There's this Easter thing that maybe you've heard of before where someone up front will say the words, "He is risen," and then people will respond back, "What? He is risen indeed," right? And now I'm always like a little bit like, okay, what's this about? And I'm always sensitive to like people that don't know about those things because I never want anyone to feel like the outsider. And so I was like, I better figure out what this is about. Well, I studied up on it, and it actually, the origin is from the book of Luke or the gospel accounts where the disciples declare that Jesus is risen, right? And they share that news. But the experience of saying he is risen indeed, actually comes from the Eastern Orthodox Church. So, and we'll do it here in just a minute here, but what they would do is they would say, "He is risen," and then respond back, "He is risen indeed." And then they would follow that with three alternating kisses on each cheek. So we're going to do that right now. No, not the kisses part. Not the kisses part. We'll just do the other part. "He is risen." There you go. And if you want to give someone a hug later on, go ahead and do that. That's fine. But if you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And if you have your worship guide inside of there, there are notes that I invite you to pull out right now so you can follow along. And we'll also have a number of the scriptures up on the screen today. But over the last few weeks around here, we've been studying through the book of Mark, and we've been talking about how to live a life without limits, how to enter into the abundant life that Jesus has invited us into. And as we've talked over the last couple of weeks, we've recognized that if you're going to do that, there's some things you got to redefine, because sometimes we have mixed up definitions of who God is and what is truth. And so we've got to allow him to redefine some things. And we've done that through the book of Mark over the last few weeks. You've also got to understand some things. You've got to have a clear understanding of the promises of God and what he can do and what he desires to do. But then really, the third most important thing that we're talking about over these last few weeks of this series, and we'll wrap it up in a couple of weeks, but we're talking about how you've then got to overcome some things. If you're really going to break through the limitations that are keeping you from the abundant life that God has for you, and that's what he wants. He wants you to have that abundant life. You've got to overcome some things. A few years back, I went golfing with some friends. Any golfers in the house? I'm always looking for a good golf mate. Yeah. So we've got like two. All right, great. Man, you guys need to get out more. Come on. We were golfing, and there were four of us, and so we decided that we were going to have a friendly wager between two pairs. And so me and one friend paired up against another friend named Barry and a friend of his, and so we decided, okay, whoever loses has to buy lunch for the winners. And I said, okay, sounds good. Well, we're starting to golf, and after a few holes, it's still pretty close. And so we get about to the ninth hole, and Barry decides, my friend was up to tee off, and all of a sudden, right as he's in his backswing, Barry, this friend on the other team, he lets out this loud, "Ah-choo!" Like this loud sneeze that was timed perfectly during the backswing, and was louder than any sneeze I've ever heard. And so my friend, kind of missed, on the ball, it was a bad shot. And so we were a little bit frustrated, because we felt like it was cheating, but we played it cool and we said, okay, fine, just understand that revenge can be a bummer, and so, but we played it cool, and we went on to the next hole. Well, that next hole, Barry gets up, and he's looking over his shoulder the whole time, and I'm just standing there just tossing a golf ball in the air, like, what? And he swings, and it's a bad shot, and the next hole, he gets up, and I'm just drinking a glass of water. He looks over his shoulder. He's nervous. And then again, another bad shot. And then the next hole, same thing. And we're just standing there smiling, like, what? And he bat another bad shot. So finally, the next hole, you can tell he's getting more and more tense. He gets up, he swings, and the golf club, I kid you not, flies out of his hands over near the next fairway over. I mean, just, and he turns around, he's like, just do something. This is driving me crazy. And we learned that day that the only thing more powerful than revenge is the possibility of revenge, you know? And so we had him paralyzed in fear. And you know, what I've found through my own life and working with many other lives is that there are a lot of people who live paralyzed by fear, paralyzed by things in their past, paralyzed by brokenness. And what I want us to know today is that Easter is all about Jesus, who came to this earth as a man. He showed us what love is, what the love of God is all about. He sacrificed his own life on the cross, and he rose again from the grave. And he did that so that you and I could overcome, so that we could overcome those things that we've been paralyzed by, so that we could overcome sin, so that we could overcome death. In fact, the Bible says that the wages of sin in our life is death. And what Jesus did when he rose from the grave is he broke the power that sin, those things in your past, he broke the power of that in your life. He broke the power of death so that you and I could have a relationship with God. And he made it possible that we could have a relationship with God, because when we have a relationship with God, we don't merely have, yes, we have the hope of heaven someday, that we're going to live with him for eternity. And I'm so excited for that. But even more than that, he made it possible for us to live in victory over those things of death, those failures, the sin, the brokenness in our life. He made it possible for us to live free from those today. And each one of us have a journey. Each one of us have a story. Just like you heard Jason and Liz share their stories a moment ago, each one of us have a story. There are no perfect people in this room. I hate to break it to you. We each have a story. Whether it's depression that you've struggled with, whether it's hopelessness, sickness, relational problems, financial problems, addiction, fear. Today, I want us to consider that the message of Easter is that Jesus made it possible for you and me to overcome death. And so I want today, as we look at this book of Mark, this is the final chapter. We're going to skip ahead in our study of the book of Mark to the chapter 16. And as we read this today and as we walk through this, I want you to imagine, what would your life look like if you were to overcome those dead places? If you were to start to really live free from those things, what would be different in your life? So we're going to start in verse 1 of Mark chapter 16 today, where it says this. It says, Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. And very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. And on the way there, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone from us for the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. And so when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And the women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. So again, we come back to this question. How do we overcome death? Well, even if you are new to church this morning, you probably have a hunch that the answer is Jesus, right? And indeed it is. The answer is Jesus. Through faith in Jesus, we can overcome those dead places, sin and death in our life. We can overcome. But I want to make this practical for us today as well. There's some things I believe that we can learn from this passage here today that if we do them and if we start to really embrace them in our lives, that we can overcome as well. And so here's the first one I want us to see today. If you and I are going to overcome death, we've got to take care of unfinished business. We've got to take care of unfinished business if we are going to overcome those dead places in our life. According to the verses we just read, there was some unfinished business going on. In fact, in another account of this same scene in the book of Luke, Luke writes and talks about how they had seen the tomb where his body was laid, and after he was taken down from the cross, they had to return home, though, to go and prepare the spices and the ointments to bury Jesus. And their work was delayed because of the Sabbath. Because during in the Jewish culture, Sabbath is a day of rest where you have to set time aside for rest. And so Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they had prepared Jesus' body, but they did it pretty quickly. And so these three women, Mary, the two Marys and Salome, they weren't satisfied with the work that had been done already. For them, it was unfinished business. The burial of Jesus, that whole process, it was unfinished business in their minds. And so Saturday night, they got the spices and everything together, and very early Sunday morning, these ladies, they went to the tomb, which, by the way, tells us they weren't afraid of the dark. They got up very, very early in the morning, and furthermore, we can figure out that they also weren't afraid to be identified with Jesus. And so they went, and for them, taking care of his body, it was unfinished business, and it was not okay, and it was a priority for them to make sure that he was buried properly. And so, as we think about our own lives, as we think about the dead areas of our lives, part of the process in overcoming death is taking care of unfinished business. I was reading the other day, I was reviewing through some kind of little illustrations and stories that I have of unfinished business. One of them was of Charles Dickens, who is one of the greatest authors of the English language. He wrote the classic Tale of Two Cities, and he died in 1870. And before he had died, he had started writing a mystery novel, this murder mystery. But then he died. And no one to this day knows who actually committed the murder. It's this unfinished book, and no one knows who. Now, that would drive me crazy. I mean, I have to know the ending. Sometimes I'll skip to the end of, especially like these long series that are on Netflix. Like, if I get a few shows in, I'm like, where is this going? I'll go watch the last episode because I don't want to have to endure through a crummy TV show if they're all going to die in the end anyway, I mean, what's the point? Can I get an amen? No, I'm just kidding. Leonardo da Vinci, he had performed a work of art, a 15th century masterpiece known as the Adoration of the Magi. It's a scene where Jesus is with Mary. You can see it up there. And it's displayed in Italy right now, in Milan. However, it's incomplete. There are places on there where he had not gotten to color in. And so some artists have come and done a version of it to fill in some spaces so you can see a little bit more what it was supposed to be. But the reality is it's an unfinished work. In North Korea, there's a 105-story hotel building that is under construction. It's been standing still for years now. If it were finished, it would be the largest hotel structure in all of the world, but because of poor structural integrity and lack of money, it will probably never be finished. In Cincinnati, Ohio, they started building underground tunnels, and these tunnels were going to be tunnels for a train and a huge system, but during the Depression, they ran out of money, and the project fell apart, and to this day, you can go tour the tunnels where there are no trains. In fact, they consider it to this day to be the biggest embarrassment in Ohio history. Just a few illustrations of unfinished business. And, you know, I think it would have been so easy for Mary and her friends to go, you know what? They already kind of took care of his body. I mean, it's good enough, right? Isn't that why most things become unfinished business in our lives? We go, you know what? It's not worth it. It's good enough. We'll just move on. It would have been so easy for them to do that. But instead they said, no, it's not okay. This unfinished business needs to be completed. See, the only hope that you and I have of overcoming the dead places in our lives is that we build this resolve in our hearts to say, it's not okay. It's not okay to just let things hang out there unfinished in our lives. We've got to take seriously the work of unfinished business. I learned this pretty powerfully in a personal way when I was younger. When I was about 15 years old, I remember one morning I had one of those arguments with my dad before school. I'm sure maybe a few in here could relate. As a 14, almost 15-year-old teenager, I got in this little argument with my dad, and then we had to rush off. I'm going to school, he's going to work, and he owned a business, and we had a lot going on with that. And so anyway, I get to school, and about not even almost a full hour into the day, I got a call over the intercom. Abe Pfeiffer to the front office, please. Abe Pfeiffer to the front office. And I walk up front and I look around the corner and my dad's standing there. He looked at me and he said, I just wanted to say I am so sorry for what I said. I was wrong. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. And, you know, tears filled my eyes as I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you the way I did either. And we hugged there in the hallway and he said, I didn't want to let the day go by. I could have easily gone to work. I had a lot of things to do, but you're more important than anything to me. I don't want unfinished business to come between us. And that day, I learned in a powerful way how important it is to take care of unfinished business. And, you know, people who are serious about overcoming the dead places in their lives, they don't let unfinished business remain. You know, I don't know what it is for you. It could be addiction. It could be broken relationships, failures in the past. Whatever it is, as we identify those things, it's so important that we develop this conviction and say, God, I'm not going to let things remain unfinished. Give me the strength to do what I need to do. Here's the second thing, though. The second way to overcome death is that we've got to also release false expectations. We've got to release false expectations. These ladies, they showed up to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' body. Instead, they found an angel of the Lord saying, he is risen. And they came with this expectation. This expectation that ultimately was different than reality, right? And the only way that they would be able to have their lives impacted by the truth of Jesus' resurrection and by the love of God was to let go of their false expectations so they could put their faith in him and what he had done. Now, we all know what false expectations are about, right? And having those clash with reality. Maybe some of you ladies, you got married to your knight in shining armor only to find that armor was more smelly armor than shiny armor, right? Or maybe, guys, you got married expecting to have a 5-course dinner on the table every night, only to find it's more of a TV dinner, you know, and she picked it up using your Visa card, and she's on the way to the mall in the salon, you know. Or you have kids thinking they're going to be the most intelligent beings in the world, only to find they turn that intelligence on you when they turn to be teenagers. Or you get the new car that you've always dreamed of, only to find a year later they come up with the new and improved version that's way better than the one that you have, right? We all have these expectations about what it's going to be like, only to find that those things come crashing to the ground when they're faced with reality. And so when it comes to our lives in God, when it comes to following him, we often come with expectations, right? Positive ones, negative ones, and everything in between. And what keeps so many people from overcoming the dead places in their life is that they hold on to those expectations. They don't let them go. Some people say, well, God can never love me. I've done so many things. He can never, so I'm not even going to bother. Or some say, you know, I've been hurt by people, so I'm not even going to give my trust to anyone anymore. Or some may say, I've been so disappointed, so disillusioned, I'm just going to play it safe. I'm not going to believe in faith for God to do something greater. I'm not going to believe for him to do a miracle. I'm just going to play it safe. And we stop believing in God's ability to do the impossible. I mean, if these ladies that day, when they walked into that tomb, if they would have said, you know what? This is way too mind-blowing for me. I can't even get my mind around what it means that Jesus is risen from the grave. And frankly, I don't want to have my hopes disappointed anyway, so I'm just going to, let's just walk away and pretend like we never even saw this angel. Right? Let's just pretend this never happened. They could have done that. But had they done that, the impact could have been devastating on their lives and on many others. Instead, they released their false expectations when they went into that grave. See, God wants us to release our false expectations so that we can receive the even greater reality that he has in store for us. And when we do that, we overcome death. Here's the third thing. Enter into the dead places. People who overcome death, they enter into the dead places. These ladies had to enter into the tomb. Again, tombs represent what? Death. And when they did, that's when the process of really overcoming death happened in their lives. Because in that process, they began to really engage their faith in Jesus. And, you know, sometimes it would be easy for us just to avoid anything that represents death. And so that's why we say things like, we make vows. I will never, right? I will never fall in love again. I will never trust again. I will never get close to another person. I will never dream again. I will never go to church again. Whatever your experience was, until we go to those dead places, which, by the way, are in our hearts. It's those places in our hearts where we put up these like walls to protect us so that we don't have to experience those things again. We put up these walls, we thinking that we're going to keep ourselves safe, when in reality, we keep ourselves from the great blessing that come from entering into relationship and trusting God and getting to have just the joy of walking out life with him. And so these ladies, they went in and they discovered Jesus had conquered death. He had risen from the grave. And you know what it did? It awakened something inside. It awakened hope within. It awakened hope that God's not done yet. God's not done yet. And see, that's the fourth part of overcoming death. When we do these things that we're talking about today, again, the fourth one here is, if you're going to overcome death, you've got to run with new life. You've got to recognize that God has more for you. Again, these ladies at first, they were a little bit in shock. They were a little speechless at first. Because the notion that Jesus was risen from the grave, they didn't know what to do with it. In fact, when they didn't find the corpse there, it says in verse 8, it says, the women fled from the tomb. And it says they were trembling and bewildered. They said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. I mean, they were freaked out. And after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, it says the first person who saw him was Mary, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. But here's the good thing. They started spreading the good news. They started telling people that Jesus was risen. In fact, in verse 10, it says, then she went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. So you see, it was even hard for some of the disciples to get their hearts and minds around this. The 11 disciples, they were struggling to believe as well. But then you read that Jesus finally starts to show up. In fact, it says in verse 14, it says, still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. See, when you start to do the things we've talked about today, when you start to take care of unfinished business in your life, and you release those false expectations and you start to go to those dead places in your heart, in your life, those things that have been holding you back, those things that have power over you. When you start to do these things that we've talked about, here's the cool thing that starts to happen. When you start to deal with those areas in your life, what begins to happen is now God begins to awaken something within you of an awareness that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. In fact, Jesus, again, he says to them, now I want you to go and preach the gospel. I want you to go make known who I am and what I've done. See, when you start to do these things, when you start to overcome death in your life, now you can live your life with new purpose. Now you can run with new life. That is good news. The goal isn't just to pray a prayer so you can get into heaven someday, but you can start to live your life with new purpose now. You can start to partner with God to bring heaven here on earth. Where you've been wounded before, you can start to be a part of restoring hope and bringing wholeness in the hearts of others who've been wounded. Where others have been gripped by fear or addictions or other things, you can start to be a part of bringing hope and wholeness and freedom for them as well. You know, there have been times in my life where God has done something amazing in my life. And then, you know, it's funny because what I do is I go, well, you know, it's just me. I don't want to, like, you know, draw attention to myself. And God's going, no, you got it all wrong. I've done that in your life. So now you can run with that story. Tell people what I've done in your life. I've done this in your life for a reason. So now you can bring hope and life and joy to others. Run with it. Run with that new life. When we start to do that, what we're doing in our hearts is we are embracing hope. We are embracing hope that, for one thing, that all that I've been through wasn't, it wasn't beyond God, that he was with me all along, and even more than that, he's able to turn that around and use that for even greater things. And furthermore, that I can be a part of helping others embrace hope as well. Jesus has risen. He has overcome death. And as you overcome death, you start running with that new purpose. Everything changes. I want to close with this story of a woman that I heard about who was older and up in years, and she had been informed by doctors that she had less than 3 months to live. And so she called her pastor and she said, "Pastor, would you come and talk? I want to start preparing for my final days." And so the pastor came and met with her, and they began to walk through what her service would look like. They talked about the songs that they would sing, the scripture verses that they would read. They picked out she showed the clothes that she wanted to be wearing on that day when she laid there in her casket. And she said, "Pastor, I want to make sure, would you make sure I have my favorite Bible that I've been reading for years. I want it there. I want to be buried with that. I want that to be right there in the casket with me." And he said, "Okay, great." So they got everything lined up, and the pastor was about to head out the door when she said, "Oh, Pastor, one more thing. This is the most important of them all." He said, What? He said, Pastor, I want you to do this. I want you to make sure that when they put me in the casket there, I want you to have them put a fork in my right hand." And the pastor said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, I want you to have him put a fork in my right hand." He said, "Okay." She said, "Are you a little curious why I want that?" He said, "Yeah, I've never had this request before." She said, "Well, Pastor, for so many years, I would go to these social functions where they would serve a big dinner and it was amazing and it was good. But," she said, "my favorite part was at the end, when the servers would come and they would take away our plates. They'd lean over my shoulder and they'd say, 'Keep the fork.'" And she said, "I would get so excited when they would say that, because," she said, "I knew what was coming. I knew what that meant. That meant something better is coming. Like, not just like Jell-O, but like pie or cake, like something really good." And so she said, "Pastor, I want you to put that fork in my hand so that when people walk by and they see me there and they look at you and they say, 'What's with the fork?' I want you to tell them, 'Something better is coming. Something better is coming.'" When you follow Jesus, when you put your faith in him, you commit your life to follow him, you can have the confidence in that something better is coming. That because of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, that as you follow him and invite him into your life, that you can overcome death. You can overcome those dead places that have held you back from the abundant life that God has for you. But it begins with a decision. And I want to invite you right now just to set your Bibles and notes aside there. And I want to take a moment here today to just close our eyes if we could, because I want to give opportunity for us each to just do business with God. Each one of us in this place, as I mentioned earlier, has dead things that I'm sure that we've got to surrender to God and say, God, would you help me? Would you help me take care of unfinished business? Would you help me to make sure that to go into those dead places, is there anything in my heart that I need to deal with because it's holding me back? Is there any false expectations that I need to release to you? So each of us need to be doing business in our hearts right now. But in particular this morning, I want to make sure that today, maybe you're here and you'd say, you know, I've been far from where I need to be with God. And today I want to begin relationship with him. I want to follow him. And I want to enter into this life where I can overcome death, where I can live free from things that have held me back in the past. I want relationship with him. I'm not just looking for religion. I want relationship with the living God. And if that would be you today, I want to invite you in just a moment. I'm going to do a little countdown from three, and if that's you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to lift your hand, and we're not going to bring you up or anything. I'm just going to lead us in one big prayer together as a church, but if that's you today, if you'd say, I want today to say yes to God, to invite him in, then I'm going to ask you in just a minute to raise your hand. Three, two, if today you want to make that decision to follow him, one, would you raise your hand right now? Just lift your hand. And by that you're saying, yeah, that's me. Yeah, one, two, three, four, five. Anyone else? Six. Yeah. Go ahead and put your hands down. It's the best decision you ever make is to follow Jesus, to surrender, and put your heart in his hands. And I want to just invite all of us to agree together in one prayer. And so I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me, just simple words. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying and rising again so I could overcome death. Help me to live for you from this day forward and to embrace hope and bring your hope to others around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give God praise this morning and say amen to that?
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.